Welcome back to the Style Stories podcast. I'm your host, personal stylist Lisa Gilby, and this is a podcast that discusses everything to do with fashion, style and image for those of us over 40. So it's all very well putting on a fantastic outfit and feeling really confident, but if you don't feel good on the inside, then there's going to be a disconnect. And that's why lately I've been focusing more on health on the podcast. And also because of the pandemic, really. And, you know, I keep hearing stories from women saying they've put on a stone or they've put on 10 pounds in weight during the lockdown, you know, because we've been comfort eating and maybe drinking a bit more wine and obviously haven't been able to go anywhere. So our health at the moment is really important, and keeping our immune system strong as well is really important, so you really feel strong and energized. So this week I've got May Simpkin joining me on the podcast. May is a nutritionist and she runs a community called Thrive over on Facebook as well. So she really focuses on healthy meals and lifestyle inspiration that are always simple, practical, and realistic as well. And she always says that healthy doesn't need to be complicated. I've been looking at her Instagram feed this morning, and I'll tell you what, my mouth is watering with all the delicious recipes, but healthy recipes that she's got on there as well. So I really hope you enjoy this week's episode and listening to May's top tips for easily staying healthy and keeping your immune system strong. And we also cover sleep as well, because I know that's something a lot of us struggle with. So before we get into the episode, I just want to mention that I'm now 2 weeks into running my brand new digital style course. It's called How to Find Your Personal Style. I kept it very simple. I've got 15 ladies. I wanted to keep it nice and small in a group. And I deliver a webinar each week on my 5 steps to easily finding your personal style. So it's been going really well. I've been really enjoying this new way of styling people and helping people with their wardrobe. So if this is something you think you're interested in, I'm going to be relaunching the style course in November. So if you'd like to join, please drop me a DM on Instagram. You can follow me over on Instagram at LiseGilbyStylist, or send me an email, lisa@lisagilbystyle.com. If you'd like to sort your wardrobe out and get clarity on your personal style, I'd love you to come and join. Now let's get on with the main show. This week on the podcast, I'm welcoming May Simpkin, and she is a nutritionist and owner of online health community Thrive. Welcome, May. Thanks for
joining. Hi, thank you for having me.
And your specialism is you're a nutritionist, but I just wanted to hear your story of what led you to that. Because I know that I used to work mm-hmm. at Coutts Bank years mm-hmm. ago. And then for the last, it's 12 years now, I've been a personal stylist. So I changed from working in a corporate to becoming an entrepreneur. And you did a similar thing, didn't you? So how did you get?
I did, although it was many moons ago. So I started my career in the city, actually, you're absolutely right. I was working in investment management. It was just after I'd graduated. And I enjoyed it. And it's funny, because although I was in a corporate environment, I did actually train to be an aerobics instructor at that time, which was all the rage in the 80s. Yeah. Obviously health was there, because I would work during the daytime in a corporate environment, and then I'd be in health clubs before and after work. So really loved it. Health was a big thing at the time. It was, you know, okay, we've got, you know, it was live well, play hard, live hard, work hard. Everything was extreme. So I enjoyed it. I then left. I had children. I got married, had children. I've got 3 children. And when my youngest was 10, I decided I wanted to go back to studying. I wanted a career. Mm. It's very difficult when you've been at home and you haven't really established a career pre-children, and then you want to go back to doing something. So when I was trying to decide what to go back to study, what am I actually interested in? And it was always health and food. You know, I had a family, I was cooking, but I didn't quite know what I was doing. Mm. And I just felt as though I'd like to learn more. So I went back to studying, literally started off back at the very beginning, learning about anatomy and physiology, and never had any idea that it would lead to me becoming a nutritionist with, you know, an online presence and, you know, really treating this as a career. I basically started studying and got really addicted and obsessed mm-hmm. with all things health, loved learning about nutrition, loved learning about, you know, why this food is good for you, and just carried on until I ended up doing a master's where I wanted to understand exactly what's going on in my body. So it's not just a question of what I'm eating and yes, this is good for you. I wanted to know why and how. And that's what studying at a master's level did. And I finished that 6 years ago, and I have just been developing my business and loving every minute of it since. So
I mean, I'm going to ask you about Thrive at the end of this chat, but I just it's funny what you said actually about the aerobics and everything was over the top in the 80s. Can you remember that advert, Go to Work on an Egg?
Yes,
there was
a huge advocate of that,
like riding an egg to work.
It was
like you have to have an egg every day. It was all that let's get physical. It's Jane Fonda, wasn't it? And she was doing with the leg warmers.
And there was Mr. Motivator. Yeah. And, you know, it was a big thing. Eggs in those days were vilified, you know, and so that's why those adverts were coming through. They gave you high cholesterol and you shouldn't be eating more than, you know, 2 eggs a week. Well, I came on the scene and actually saying, no, you should be eating 2 eggs a day, frankly.
Edwina Curry said that thing, didn't she?
Yeah, there was that big salmonella scare. I mean, eggs, bless them, have had some seriously bad press, and they are incredibly nutritious. And
yeah.
So I've almost single-handedly been trying to turn that press around.
Yeah, she completely, that was hilarious. I really remember that. Everyone was like, no one was eating eggs, were they, for ages?
Yeah. So that's my journey into health and nutrition. So I suppose it was just fueled by a general interest in food and a general interest in health and really wanting to understand it. So more than just on a superficial level of, you know, vitamin C is good for you and it helps boost your immune system. I really wanted to understand why and what happens in your body when you do have vitamin C and why is it boosting your immune system.
Do you think you can get enough vitamin C from just eating the food, or do you think that are you someone that uses supplements and things like that? Because I have all my vitamins here and I try to take the, you know, because sleep, we're going to go on to sleep in a minute because I have a problem with magnesium, for example. Someone told me take magnesium, it will help you sleep. But then another person said actually you should get all the nutrition you need really from your diet.
It's a really good question, because as a rule, I like to use supplements exactly as the name suggests, as a supplement. Mm. So I don't want it to take over the diet. It's really important that people understand that. And there's two reasons for that. But the main reason, the first reason, is that when you eat the food that contains the nutrients, it's in a form that the body recognizes. So it's what we call bioavailable. So it means you eat that food, it's already in a form that the body says, thank you very much, I know exactly what to do with this, I know exactly how to use it, so I'm going to use it for its purpose. And the more you have of that, the more your body is grateful because it's got it in a form that it can use it. With supplements, and this is where they differ. So more expensive supplements do tend to be better quality. They tend to be in a more bioavailable form, less fillers, less excipients, which means it's sort of bound with something so that, you know, it can be put literally into a capsule. So the nutrient you're taking in is not as clean unless you're prepared to spend more money. And so the second reason is that it's actually quite expensive to be taking a big supplement program. I would rather you put that money into good food and ate really good ingredients, because there's always the argument that eating healthy is expensive, but actually it's not. There are so many foods that are inexpensive that are incredibly nutritious, but supplements are expensive and it can make a difference in your pocket. Now, if for any reason you've been unwell or you can't cook and you don't shop and you know that your diet is lacking, then there is definitely a place for supplements. Or if your health is lacking and you need that support, you need that supplement to health, then that's where you would go and take a supplement. But I would always recommend that you don't just self-prescribe. You actually do go and see a nutritionist, a qualified health professional, and get their opinion, because it may be that you're actually taking the wrong supplement, too much of one supplement, or the wrong form of a supplement. There is so much involved. So I would say always under the care of a health professional. That's really important than just self-prescribing, as I call it.
Yeah, and I was going to ask actually as well about the best foods for immune system, because we're in the middle of a pandemic still.
We are.
People keep saying, I keep hearing on the news this week, vitamin D is a big one, and we lack vitamin D here. So what can we get? I mean, in this country, we don't get enough sun. So what would be the best vitamin C and D kind of foods?
Okay, so you are absolutely right. To boost your immune system, I think it is valuable to have a boost of some form, whether it's from the diet or whether it's from supplements. And actually, when we're talking about the pandemic and boosting our immune system as we come into the winter and just wanting to make sure that we ward off, you know, all those nasty bugs, I would suggest that perhaps a supplement isn't a bad thought at the moment or isn't a bad choice. But again, let's think about what we need. So I wrote a blog on vitamin D and whether it can mitigate against COVID and can it help you against COVID. So, you know, if that's something you're interested in, you know, my blog is on my website, maysimpkin.com, and it's there. And actually, I called it sort of 4 weeks ago before, you know, it was all coming into the press. And the reason was that I came across some research that they were trying to do some research as to whether vitamin D will help, first of all, ensure that you don't die if you do happen to get COVID, or whether it can just mean you don't get COVID in the first place. Now, the evidence was inconclusive. Now, the reason for that is also the fact that they haven't had enough time to do any long-term research. COVID hasn't been around for a long time and they've just started researching. But what they did find was that there were high incidences of low vitamin D levels in people who died of COVID. Now, that doesn't mean to say that low vitamin D means you will get COVID and you will die, but it does mean there is a correlation. So because vitamin D is such an important vitamin for your immune system, but also it has implications with your bone health, and much, much more. And we don't get enough of it, because you hit the nail on the head. We don't live in a country with lots of endless days of sunshine. So we tend to spend a lot of time indoors, particularly in a pandemic. Mm. So we're not actually going to be getting enough vitamin D naturally. So I would suggest that a vitamin D supplement is not a bad idea. You can supplement up to 2,000 international units a day. So that's IU on packaging, if you're worried about what that means. And it means then that you are going to be supplementing so that you can just keep those levels up. And it just means that you are then not worried about low levels of vitamin D implicating in your immune health. It's not going to stop, but it might help ward off. And therefore, if everything else is strong and everything else is healthy, it may mean you don't pick up any viruses and bugs. You're doing as much as you can, basically.
And this podcast as well, as I've been doing some chats with people about specifically about health in the menopause, because this is a podcast for people over 40 and beyond. Yep. And something I think that a lot of people suffer with at this sort of older time of life is sleep and bloating. So I just wanted to ask you about those two things. So you mentioned that there are certain foods that can help with sleep. Please tell me what they are.
So they're two different things. Sleep and bloating are sort of two separate things. Yeah. When we're talking about bloating, we're talking about your digestive system, how well you break down the food, how healthy your digestive system is at the moment. So that's actually a whole other podcast, which you know, I'm very happy to help with. But let's just focus on sleep, because you know, sleep is fundamental. If we can get good sleep, then that is the time that our body is literally repairing. So if you think of your body all day as being in action, you know, nerve endings have all been ruptured, muscles, fibers have been ruptured. And I use that word, it sounds quite extreme, but actually that's normal. That's what happens in the normal course of a day. And then when you sleep, that's when everything knits back together again. So everything resets. It's almost like your massive, massive reset button. And when you get into that really lovely deep sleep in the middle of the night, that's when the maximum repair is happening. So if you don't allow that opportunity, and if your sleep is disrupted, then it isn't going to happen. And you're not going to wake up feeling revived, refreshed, raring to go, because actually you're not revived and refreshed. You haven't had a chance to repair, and that's going to manifest itself during the day. You're just going to feel exhausted, you know, not able to cope. And you will cope, but your ability and your resilience to cope is significant.
And immune system again. So that's why sleep is so important. And I often find that now I struggle with sleep. I mean, I guess I avoid spicy foods.
Yes.
Because I think that's a big one, isn't it? Don't have
spicy foods. If you are susceptible to that, some people can eat spicy foods and they process it very well and they digest it very well. But if you know that that's a problem, then I would certainly maybe keep your meals a little bit less heavy and maybe a little bit more clean. So not as rich, not as heavy on fat, on spices. Now, the other big one is alcohol. And it's a real issue at the moment because, you know, there is certainly people are consuming more alcohol. It's a little bit part of our lifestyle as a habit, you know, sort of early evening. And yes, it can help you relax. But the upshot of drinking alcohol is that you will possibly fall asleep more easily. And I think that's why people think that it helps to get them to sleep. But guaranteed, you will not fall into that deep sleep and it will disrupt your whole night's sleep. So you might fall into that deep sleep, but very, very small, short periods. And then you're going to be disrupted and wake up out of it before your body's had a chance to repair and knit back together and rest. And so you're going to wake up because this disrupted sleep wakes you up, and long term, day after day, that is not healthy and it will have an effect. And the problem is then your entire sleep patterns are disrupted. So I like to talk about sleep hygiene, and it's a bit like, you know, I don't know if you've had children, when you go back to that sort of early evening bedtime routine where, you know, children know the routine. It's sort of bath, bottle, bed. They know that when they have a bath, they're going to have a bath, they're going to have a bottle or their feed, and then they're going to go straight to bed. And it's a routine. They know what to expect. And honestly, as adults, that is also the case. So if you allow yourself that relaxation time, so at the end of the day, you say to yourself, I am allowed to relax. I've had a great day. I've achieved everything I wanted to. Even if you haven't achieved everything you wanted to, it's the end of the day. There is no point addressing it now. So I'm allowed to relax, and literally giving yourself permission to relax. And then maybe have a bath, a herbal tea, pick up a magazine, something that's not going to tax your mind too much and get your mind thinking. Think about the things that are going to help you actually relax. And if you haven't had the alcohol, you're going to be more alert to allowing yourself to relax. I know that sounds really ridiculous, but you're not going to sort of be in a haze where you end up falling asleep and you didn't mean to in front of the TV, you didn't mean to while you're reading. You actually want to just naturally start resting and repairing and allowing that wind down time at the end of the day. So that's...
Well, I know, I do notice that. I mean, it's part of our, it's so part of our culture that you brushed on that, the drinking thing. But even if I have, you know, a couple of glasses of wine, I don't sleep anywhere near as well as if I have nothing and I get that lovely clean
sleep,
you know, and you really wake up refreshed. And you do, you know, if I wake up in the night and I haven't had any alcohol, I'll just go instantly back to sleep. If I have, I won't go back to sleep.
Tossing and turning.
It's a stimulant because it just stimulates you, doesn't it? But I just want to talk as well about your Thrive community, because I know this is all about sort of feeling good, looking good, all of those things. And I know one of the reasons you went into nutrition, you said in your story on your website, so that's maysimkin.com, isn't it? Your website.
Thank you.
And you can find the Thrive community that we're about to talk about in a minute there. But you're from Egyptian heritage, aren't you? And you had lots of food around you. And
always.
You put on a bit of weight when you were younger.
Yeah.
And then got interested in image and health from there.
Yeah.
So that's something, because you, food was a big part of you growing up.
Yes, it was. I mean, you know, when you grow up in a family, you know, with a mother who cooks nonstop and huge quantities, there's just no way you can not eat, because, you know, it's almost a slight on her cooking. And, you know, so I was overweight as a teenager. And, you know, back in the day, we didn't have the same body image issues. Yes, you know, I didn't like being overweight, but I didn't feel as though, you know, my life was awful. But I do remember when I left home thinking, you know what, I want to be able to wear nice clothes. I don't like being overweight. So I did go on a diet, and I went on those classic extreme diets, you know, not eating. I think I survived on popcorn, you know, as a student. And, you know, yes, I did lose weight, but I didn't feel great for it. And that's when I started taking up exercise and started realizing that actually, if I wanted to carry on not putting on weight, it was a whole body approach. It wasn't just food, it was everything. And so, you know, as I grew up and as I started to learn and delve deeper in my studies, I realized that actually it's not a case of being extreme. And in fact, frankly, they don't always work unless you're really disciplined and you're missing out. It doesn't work. But what does work is retraining so that you've got sustainable eating habits. So you actually eat everything, but you eat everything in moderation. Certain food groups don't feature all the time, every meal. Other food groups do feature every meal. It's a question of balance, but the balance is definitely skewed towards the healthy. And I think there's no getting away from that. You know, you can't possibly eat unhealthy foods all the time and expect to be healthy and expect to be at a great weight.
No, absolutely not. There was that documentary maker that ate McDonald's, wasn't there, for like, he ate it for 2 weeks in a row and he felt absolutely disgusting.
It makes you,
I mean, so thrive is all about feeling good.
It is, and it's a whole body approach.
Strong, yeah.
So there are, you know, in Thrive, there are five pillars that I believe are crucial to being healthy and staying healthy and happy and motivated and inspired. And it's basically nourish is one section. So obviously what you eat and how you, what the food you put into your body. Move, exercise is crucial. Without exercise, we can't get everything moving. We don't feel good. Helps our moods, which in turn helps us to stay on track. Restore, so we need to restore. We've talked about sleep and managing stress is all part of restore. So I do a lot about meditation and relaxation, and sleep is something I cover as well in Thrive. Then we've got connect. I like to connect with people who, so I've got a color workshop going on because, you know, I want to introduce people to the idea of what you're wearing helps. And obviously you would, you know, really understand that, appreciate that. You know, it matters what you're wearing. You're wearing the right color for you. Is that going to bring you down? Is that going to help you? Can you do something there that will also support you? Learn as well is the final pillar, because I think we all need to continually be learning. If you're learning, your mind is engaged, you are inspired, you are motivated. So those five pillars are how I base Thrive. And I basically drop things into each of those. But the one thing as a nutritionist that is crucial to me is what you're eating. So every Friday, I send out a meal inspiration email that isn't necessarily brand new recipes, that a lot of the time it is, but it's basically meal inspiration. So, you know, here's an idea that you may not have thought about. You know, I know, you know, avocados on toast might be an idea, but have you thought about putting spinach on it? Have you thought about including a little bit of feta? You know, maybe some chili flakes to make it more interesting. Yeah. And even if you've eaten it 4 weeks ago, you may want to eat it again now, but you've forgotten about it.
It's a membership community with ideas, lots of content, and then supportive. Is it in a Facebook group?
No, and in fact, that's what I've steered clear of. It's not on social media because a lot of people don't want to be on social media. So it's basically a meal inspiration arrives in your inbox and you access it through, you know, an email address and password from my website. And then you have access to all the content. So, you know, it doesn't matter if you can't watch anything live. It's just all there. It's in, you know, in theory, and I'm certainly just starting out, I'm building it up to be a one-stop that so that whatever you want for your health, whether it's exercise, food, learning, connecting, learning, you know, seeing something new, it's all there on one platform, but not through social media. So I like that.
See, that's good, because exactly, you're right. Not everyone wants to be on social media now. And what we were saying before, you know, imagine, I don't know what I would have been like if social media was around as much when I was a teen as it is now. It must be really hard for
you know,
the kids curating this image all the time.
So I don't want people to feel that they've got to be on Instagram. I mean, I do a huge amount on Instagram. I mean, you know, there's a huge meal inspiration on my Instagram account, May Simkin Nutrition. And I do take a lot of that, but I take it themed. So, you know, it depends what the theme is for that week. And I'll say, here's four dishes you might like to try. Recipes are all there. You don't have to look anything up. I think sometimes people get a bit bogged down with that, you know, having to look it up, and they just want ideas and how to do it.
It's all in one place. See, that's what people need. All in one place.
Yeah. So just got, and I've done all the thinking for you. I go out there, get the inspiration, find out ideas, tell you how to make it, introduce you to people that I think are cool and you need to hear from, you know, show you the research on vitamin D, because I've done the research. I just want people to rely on the fact that I'm doing it for them, and they just need to access what I'm offering.
They can just access it and just sign up. So sign up for May's Thrive if you want to. Tips and tricks on health, sleep, nutrition, all that feeling good. And also, as May mentioned, she does have people on talking about colours and what to wear. I might actually be doing a guest slot there at some point.
Lovely to do something, definitely.
It's feeling good on the inside and feeling good on the outside as well. So thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
So I hope you enjoyed the episode this week. As ever, do get in touch with me if there's anything you'd like me to cover on the podcast. I love hearing from you. And also, if you can subscribe and leave a review, it would mean the absolute world to me. Anywhere you get your podcast. Until next time, take care.